you turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 4. I want to encourage all the men in this church to please go to the men's retreat. Amen. Please, amen, we need you there for encouragement for each other. Please, you got plenty of time to take a day off. Amen. Go down with us. Have a great time. James chapter 4, we're going to read verse 13 through 17. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? What a question, isn't it? How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while, then it is gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and to do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Listen to this. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That's something, isn't it? It is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we ask that you right now, that you speak to us here tonight. Speak to every heart, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. And right now, God, I want a miracle in people's life here tonight. Hallelujah. God, I want a miracle in this church tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you the praise and the glory. Anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you tonight, spending your time. Spending your time. Folks, every day you live, you are spending your time. The thing is, how are you spending it? You know, there's people that they get a paycheck and before they go back to work on Monday, they're broke. Come on. They just blow their money. And then they're borrowing money for the rest of the week until they get another paycheck. Then there are those that like to save it and see how full their savings will get. But it's the same in your time. It's the same with your life. How are you spending your time? Your allotted time. Now we don't, none of us know whether we have 60 years, 65, 70, 80. We don't know that. But we all are allotted an amount of time. You see, we like to think that we are masters of time. We even have atomic clocks these days to measure time out precisely to the nanosecond. You see, but we don't really understand time. There are times when time seems to go rushing by, and there are other times when the clock seems to stand still. That's when you're at work and you want to be home. And it's like, that clock's still at 5 after. You see, folks, there are times when we are very much aware of time, such as when we are working on a project with a deadline, racing the clock, fighting against time. And then there are those wonderful times when we get to go off our clocks and enjoy a day of leisure and rest and hardly notice the time passing at all. Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Dost thou love time? Then do not squander time, for time is the stuff life is made of." You see, folks, James warns us against making presumptions, judgments about the future. We have a mistaken confidence. We think we can predict the unpredictable. It's not good, folks, to be presumptuous judgment. It's not good to assume tomorrow is guaranteed. And it's arrogant to think or to make our plans without considering God. I'll say that again. I said it is arrogant of us to make our plans without even considering God. James is writing to believers here, and they had trusted Christ for salvation. They had given thought to their necessity for Jesus regarding eternal life, but they failed to do the same regarding everyday life. And so it is today, folks. We recognize that we need Jesus on Sunday, but how much is Jesus a part of our lives every other day of the week? Come on. Do we give thought to God when we go out about our business? When we get out of our planners and make appointments for the day or for the week or for the month? But how much do we stop and think about how God would want us to plan our lives? How often do we pray before meeting? Or we pray before a phone call, asking God for His guidance? Do we put God off to the side during the week and then come church on Sunday saying, hey, thanks God for getting me through another week? You see, we hadn't even given God much thought throughout that week. We tell Him thank you for the week, but we didn't even give Him any thought. Oh, and maybe I should have been thanking God all week. See, we set ourselves up for disappointment when we make all these plans without even considering God. We may have our heart set on a career choice, but we end up running into brick walls, getting frustrated, getting discouraged, all because that's not what God wanted us to do. It's what we want to do. You could be anything you want to be. Sounds nice, but it's not true. Come on. Isn't it the Army slogan, you can be anything you want to be? But it's not true. You can't necessarily be anything you want to be. You see, I will say, go ahead and try it. But don't let restriction stop you. Don't let restrictions stop you. You can rise above challenges. You can beat the odds. But sometimes, folks, we have to face reality and change course when something isn't planning out. It doesn't mean failure. It just means that we were meant to do something else. When we have our hearts set on something and we don't listen to God or wise counsel from others, amen, when we would be pointing out certain things that we need to take a look at when we are in trouble. When we plan our future with this picture-perfect scenario of how it's going to go, when we find ourselves getting our hopes up and becoming overconfident or overexcited when something happens that we weren't expecting, and then we're devastated. You see, we don't know what to do at this point. We are angry. We get confused and we throw away our plans and we become depressed and we conclude that we are failure and life is a failure. And all because, folks, we tried to make certainties out of uncertainties. All because we didn't expect the unexpected. All because we didn't plan wisely. All because we didn't include God in our plans. All because we didn't listen to God when he said he tried to warn us. We need to know something today, folks. Life is very brief. You have no promise of tomorrow. David understood that. And David understood that it was important to consider the brevity of life. And that in the whole scoop of things of life is but a breath or a vapor. And it is wise to put things into perspective. It is wise in realization of all this to make sure our hope is in the Lord. You see, He is our hope in sustenance, and our hope is the success of our lives. But life is brief. Life is very uncertain. You see, one day a doctor called one of his patients into his office to deliver some very important news. He said, "I have received the results of your test, and I have some bad news and I have some good news." The patient was quiet for a moment, sensing the gravity of the announcement. "Let me have the good news first, doc." The doctor took a deep breath and said, "You only have 24 hours to live." "Oh my goodness," the patient said, shouted. "If that's the good news, what's the bad news? What could it possibly be?" And the doctor replied, "I was supposed to tell you yesterday." You see, folks, we never know which day will be our last. Am I saying right? We never know. This is sobering when you really contemplate it. And it's not only sobering, it's scary for those who aren't even saved. There are those who have heard this gospel and haven't responded to it. And they are putting it off. They think they have plenty of time. But I want to tell you, it's a delusion. You see, there's an old fable that tells of three apprentice demons that were coming to the earth to finish their apprenticeship. And they were talking to Satan about their plans to tempt and ruin men. The first one said, I will tell them that there is no heaven. And Satan replied, they'll never believe that. You see, the Bible's full of messages about the hope of heaven. The second apprentice, he said, I will tell them there is no hell. And Satan replied, no good. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. And the final demon said, then I know the answer. I'll just tell them there's no hurry. And Satan said, go. You will ruin them by the thousands. You see, folks, it's a risky misconception to think that there's always plenty of time. You see, the clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To those, one's wealth is sad. Indeed, to those, to lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss as no man can restore. You have no guarantee of time. And folks, it is time, amen, in the time it took to read that little poem, about 40 people died. Every hour, almost 6,000 people die in this world. Unbelievable, isn't it? Our lives can change in the blink of an eye. Our lives can change, folks, just like that. Amen. So it is very important how we live each day. James asks us, what is your life? A tombstone has a date of birth and a date of death with a dash in the middle. Life is brief. It is unpredictable. It is important that our plans, folks, coincide with God's so that no time is wasted going in the wrong direction. We need to make sure, folks, that the most is made of the few years that we have. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, make the most of every opportunity. We need to consider the brevity of life, living each day to the fullest. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot live every day to the fullest without God being involved. You see, folks, Paul was sensitive to the Lord's direction. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul had a desire. He had a plan, but he left it all up to the Lord to direct his plans. And sometimes our problem is that we want our will to be God's will. Come on. Probably more often than not, we want our will to be God's will. And sometimes we even attach his name to our agenda. Well, I told the pastor about it. Well, good for you. You see, we set out to do goofy things, and we think because of that, that we automatically have the green light. But yet we still haven't prayed about it, or we haven't sought godly counsel on it. And often because we know that we won't like what we hear. That's why we don't want to talk to the pastor or seek godly counsel on things, because we know we won't like it. We want what we want. Amen? So we move forward with God's will. Yet it's really our will. And we want so badly for God to be on our side that we fail to really listen to Him. And we don't want to have Him to burst our bubble. And we want something so badly that we don't want to deal with God saying, it isn't my will for you. During the U.S. Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. And at one point, one of the ministers said, Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side. And Lincoln's response showed far, far greater insight. He said, no, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. Come on. When we make our plans sincerely, as seeking God's will, folks, we will then succeed. Amen. Proverbs 16 verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Amen. You see, if God is at the center of your plans, then whatever you set out to do will be a success. James is saying, you're no longer ignorant. You are now obligated to act upon what you know to be true. That's what James is telling us. So when you know, amen, when you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, then you're sinning. Is God included in your plans? By not doing it, you sin against God. There are two types of sin. There's sin of commission, where we do what we shouldn't. And then there's a sin of omission, where we don't do what we should. And when we know what we're supposed to be doing and we don't do it, we sin. Sin, folks, isn't just what you do. It is also what you don't do. And when we know that we should help someone and we don't, we sin. And when we know that we shouldn't use our God-given gifts, when we know we should use our God-given gifts and we don't, we're sinning. So let's take this verse in light of verse 14. What is your life? Our lives are brief. So don't waste precious time. Don't procrastinate in doing good works. Don't be lazy. Don't be complacent, folks. When you know the good you ought to be doing, get to it. You see, in procrastination, we put things off thinking we are guaranteed tomorrow. This is evil to presume upon God, as if to dictate the control of our lives in such a way. We fail to realize life is short. Don't put off until tomorrow what you know you should be doing today. So anyone who knows when he should be doing the good he ought to do and doesn't, that he's sinning. A man by the Richard Evans said, the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. Amen? You see, in Matthew 25, Jesus was pleased with the servants who did the good that they ought to do. And he was not pleased with the servant who sinned by not doing what he should have done. And Jesus said in verse 26, he called the servant wicked and lazy. His fate was not pretty. God has given us gifts. God has given us talents to use, not to bury. God doesn't want you to bury what he has blessed you with. He wants you to use it. Amen. That's what he told this servant who buried his talents. He said, he sent him into hell. You wicked and slothful servant. You see, does this mean that we shouldn't make any plans for tomorrow? No. I'm not saying that at all. Making plans is wise if it is part of the good that we ought to do. Amen. It's been said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Amen? It is smart to plan ahead. What's not smart is making plans without seeking God's wisdom. We should always be, folks, God should always be at the center of what we think, do, and breathe. Come on. He should always be there. God should always be at the center of our plans. So when we're making plans for the future, we should write them in pencil and give God the eraser. Come on. But how do we deal with it when God erases some of our plans? We get really upset, don't we? Because we usually want our will to be His. Psalm 16 verse 9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. No matter how big or important any of us think we are, folks, God's word stands forth, is unchanging. Hallelujah. All other plans must be altered to his plans. Now think about this. We desire time. Come on. We desire it probably the most of anything in our life. And we use it the worst. I have plenty of time, so just wait. You see, time is what we want most, but we use it the worst. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. All, folks, am I living here today? Am I living wisely? Do I need to change my priorities? Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men. You see, at best, folks, life is a temporary arrangement and it is very frail. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what ye should be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Of all the sins that people commit, there are two at the top of the list. Number one, we think we have plenty of time. And number two, procrastination. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. God gives us the gift of time. What do we do with the time that we have? Could be our gift to others and to God. Time as we know it is a limited commodity. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do we recognize our time should be invested wisely? You see, God, folks, has plans for us. If we use our time wisely, God will bring about good all of our days. We have a bright future of hope when we use God's gifts of time wisely. And if we invest our time and we invest our effort wisely, life will be something beautiful. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of that God hath maketh from the beginning to the end. Night is coming, folks. Darkness is coming. How much time do we have? How much time do I have? How much time do you have, folks? The time of light is a limited gift. John 9 verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You see, many people think, well, mom lived in her 70s, dad lived into his 80s, and my grandparents lived to their 90s. I have plenty of time. Well, let us assume we live for these 70 years. The average person will spend around 229,961 hours sleeping. A third of our lives will be sleep. 27 years. We will spend 67 minutes a day eating and drinking. That's about 32,098 hours of your life. We will spend on the average 101 minutes a day driving, 337,935 hours driving. The average person will spend 90,360 at work. The computer will take 28,300 hours. The average person will spend 9 years or 80,486 hours watching TV. We will spend 1.5 years taking a shower. Time swiftly passes. Some people take less time taking a shower. Redeem the time, please. But think about this, folks. Redeem your time. Maybe you're here and say, I have wasted a lot of time, Pastor. Well, here's the thing tonight, folks. I want you to redeem your time. Okay? I want you to buy your time back. Time is God's gift to you. What you do with your time is your gift back to God. And let me tell you something. Today is all you have. Come on. Yesterday, folks, is in the grave. It's gone. But tomorrow may never be. And all you have is today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Buy your time back. Give it to God. Amen. Invest it in God. Hallelujah. I want you to be honest. Are we making the best of our opportunities before us? Is time spent in trivial pursuit? Are we really practicing the thought to live like I'm dying? Time is where we prepare for eternity. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Paul, folks, that sure is a good talk that you gave. I will wait for more convenient season. Who said that to Paul? In Acts 24, 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You never read where he ever called for Paul again. Preacher, Felix told him, preacher, you almost persuaded me. That's what he told Paul. Preacher, you almost persuaded me. I almost came to the decision, preacher, to change how I spend my time. Almost, you almost got me, preacher. How many in hell will say, I was almost persuaded? Have you ever thought about that? How many in hell right now are saying, I was almost persuaded by a preacher? I was almost persuaded. Why didn't I take that opportunity to go to that altar? What I wouldn't give to be at an altar asking God to fill me with the Holy Ghost, asking God to allow me to live for Him with all of my heart. What I wouldn't give for a little more time. I was almost a Christian. I almost started using my time in the light of eternity. You see, in Acts 26, verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Let's stand tonight. You see, we never know what the day might hold. Never forget choices. Hear me today. Never forget your choices have consequences. On May 14th, 1988, some of you may remember on I-71 down in Kentucky area, a Ford church bus with 67 kids and parents was returning home from a church day at Kings Island in Cincinnati. Some of the kids were sleeping. Some were visiting and recounting the pleasures of the day. The preacher was driving the bus. And a Toyota pickup truck was driven by Larry Mahoney down the wrong lanes of an interstate. The driver was alcohol impaired. And he'd been arrested several times driving drunk. You see, he received a 16-year sentence. He pulled 9.5 years. And of the 67 people on board this bus, 27 people died. They were burned to death. And of the 40 survivors, many, many carry ugly, deep scars. Jacqueline, one survivor, Jacqueline had 40 different surgeries. 40. You see, this is sometimes some of my biggest fears when our buses are traveling. But I said this to tell you, you have no promise of tomorrow. Young people, You have no promise of tomorrow. You could be on one of the fun things with the church group. You have no promise of tomorrow. 27 people died on this bus that day. Many, 40 survivors carry many, many scars. You see, Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." What will it take to get you to use your time more wisely? I ask you today, what will it take to get you to use your time more wisely? You see, folks, we all like guarantees. When we buy a car, we want a guarantee. When we buy a mixer for the kitchen, we want a guarantee. But you can't buy a guarantee for life. But God can give you a guarantee. He can say, if you serve me, whenever your time is up, you'll spend it with me in eternity. That's all that God is willing to give you. And folks, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. But we know who holds tomorrow. Come on. I want to invite you to this altar right now to ask God, Lord, help me to spend my time more wisely. Come on, this altar's open. Come on. Hallelujah. God, help me to be wise with my time.